All right, come on. Well, welcome everybody again, and it's our new series that we're calling He Was, I Am. So thankful for all those watching online today. We love you guys. We're thankful for you. I want to read a verse to you, and then I want to just explain the invite cards that you do have that were on your chair on the way in today. Acts 1:8, it says this, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Who's a witness? Well, we're witnesses. When you come into a relationship with God, we're all witnesses of God's power and what He's done in our life. And so our responsibility that He's given each and every one of us is to go share that news. The gospel is good news. And so our job is to go into Jerusalem, which represents Fort Wayne for us, our city, and then Judea and Samaria represents our nation. And then obviously then into the ends of the earth. And so on your seat on the way in, you got an invite card on there for Easter. Now there's plenty more available, but we at least wanted to get one in each and every person's hand today. And you can get more on your way out at the hub there, right out these doors to my right, and then hang another right there, and our team's there. But there's plenty of cards out there if you would like more than one. And here's what I just want to say. You know, what if this Easter is the difference for somebody that you know? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend, and if you don't know this, that people are more likely to come to church on Easter more than any other Sunday of the year. And there's a statistic that people are 90% actually more likely to accept it. And so here's our job. We just got to invite and just continue to bring people with us. And I would just encourage you, let somebody know. We've got actually some really cool things available on social media that our team made, that Gabrielle made this past week. And so if you're going to a specific service, you can use that and even do digital invites as well. But we wanted to put that in your hand to encourage you, because we're believing for this to be our greatest Easter yet. We're doing four services. We got one on Friday night. Our Friday night one is a unique one because it's one that we just believe that there's a lot of people that would like to come to church, but there's a lot that we know that are working on the weekends as well. And so this is, I think, a real unique opportunity to bring them and to get them here on a Friday night service. And that Friday night will look a little different than our Sunday. And so I'll have a little bit of a different message where our worship is actually going to be acoustic style. It's going to be really awesome. And so they're already working on that. And then our Sunday is going to be powerful as well. We've got also through all four services just some powerful testimonies that you're going to hear from some of our families in our church that God's really done some miracles with, and so I want to encourage you to get people out, and just 2 weeks away from Easter, and so I want to encourage you with that. But if you already have it, you can grab your message notes excuse me, that are inside your worship guide, and you can follow along that way if you want, or on the screens behind me. And somebody pulled me in the hallway last week and said, man, when are we getting back to those message notes, Pastor? Like, I'm all about the message notes. Anybody about the message notes in here? You know, a few of you, three of you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we do them for the three. So I work real hard on those. It's a true story. I work real hard. Our team will tell you for those message notes. So anyways, hopefully it's more than three. But let's move on here. And you can follow along again in the message in that way. But I want to just take you, you know, really through, just give you a quick glimpse of this month that this whole series is centered around Jesus and who He is. But man, the time before the cross and then at the cross and then when He resurrected as well. And so this whole month is about that. And ultimately, my hope is that we just get to know Him in a more passionate way, and maybe even along the way really see some things that maybe we haven't seen before. Because here's the truth. The last few days of the life of Jesus was extremely stressful for Him. Jesus had what was called the Last Supper with His disciples. And He went from that Last Supper experience to then being in the place that was called the Garden of Gethsemane, which is interesting to me that I remember being in Bible college and reading this, that it represented the place of pressure is literally what the Garden of Gethsemane meant. And so there Jesus was, though, after He had this Last Supper. The Bible talks about that His soul was in a place that He was dealing with so much anguish, but He was overwhelmed to the point of death. And then in that moment that He's in the garden and He's crying out to God, He's in a place that He's ready to just quit and say, God, is there another way? Is there another way other than the cross that this can happen? And in that moment, he was experiencing a medical condition that's called hermatidrosis. All right, I'm not a medical guy, but I think I said it right. And really what that is just the sweating of blood. And so there He was sweating blood and in a place of deep, deep anguish. and ready to give in when he locked in the place of prayer. And it was the place of prayer where he regained strength to endure and to endure it all because he saw you and I worth dying for. Aren't you thankful this morning that God saw you and I worth dying for? Amen. I'm so glad for that, that he looked beyond just who was present and was able to see beyond his now into the future, into the millions upon millions of people that he would be dying for. And so while praying, though, the Roman soldiers, they came and they arrested Jesus. And then Jesus was rushed through 6 different trials in an 8-hour period. I mean, that's a lot of Law and Order episodes. You know what I'm saying? And so there he was in a lot of trials in an 8-hour period. 3 of them were by religious people, 3 by the Romans. All of them were illegal. All of them were secretly done at night. You'll see on the screen here, just kind of work through them. Annas was one of them. He was a key religious leader who he had to see. Then he went and saw Caiaphas, who was a high priest. Then he went before the religious Supreme Court, which was the Sanhedrin. And then Pilate, who was the governor of Judea. Then Pilate sends him to Herod, who was the governor of Galilee. And then Herod's like, no, ain't going to have nothing to do with this. Sends him back to Pilate yet again. And all of this done in about 8 hours. Now, he's got 6 trials, and what did they find? What did they come up with? Absolutely nothing. Came up with nothing. Think about that. They couldn't pin any charges against Jesus, couldn't accuse him of any crimes. He hadn't done anything wrong. And so what they begin to do is strum up false accusations, and they brought in phony witnesses to perjure themselves. And because these paid accusers kept contradicting each other, there was no conviction that could ever really happen. And so finally, though, they had one accusation that became true. And the one accusation that was true is when Jesus said that he said, I am the Son of God, and that changes everything. And so once he was convicted, he would go through extreme torture. And 4 distinct wounds is what we're going to talk about today and over the next couple Sundays that have direct results for our life. And we get this out of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, and Isaiah lists all 4 of these wounds. They're really the wounds of the cross is kind of what you could call this. And you'll see all 4 right here. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. There's the first one. He was crushed for our iniquities. There's the second. And here's the third. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. There's the third. And then the final 4th one. And then by his wounds, King James says, by his stripes. Somebody know, we just sang that song a few minutes ago. We were declaring, by his stripes, we are healed. And man, it was a great setup for this message today. And so each one of these wounds represents something powerful, something very different for you and I, and brings a result to our life that we've got to get a hold of. And so today I want to start this series off by focusing on his wounds and focusing on that he is our healer. And I don't know where you're at, don't know what you're going through, don't know what you're facing. Maybe physical, maybe mental, maybe, spiritual. But I want you to know more than anything today that God is our healer. So after Jesus was convicted, they then take him off. The Romans take him off into a place, the Praetorium is what they called it, and really just a kind of a network headquarters for the Romans, where they begin to mock Jesus, begin to kick him and curse at him, and then finally setting him up to whip him at the whipping post. And they called the whip then, it's called a Roman flagrum. It's also AKA cat of 9 tails is also what it's called. And it's 9 leather straps. It's about 3 feet long. And those straps are loaded with bone, metal, and then they have on them what's called scorpion hooks. And of course, once they would bring a person to the whipping post, they would tie them to the whipping post. I think one of the movies that depicted this really well was The Passion of the Christ, if you've ever seen that. And there he was at the whipping post. And again, the whole purpose of everything that's on that strap is to literally rip off the flesh. And as scholars know, and just different medical, as he would do that, many of those men that would go to the whipping post and get that that beating would never make it outside of that because of the amount of blood loss that they would have. But Jesus made it through, tearing off the flesh off of his back, exposing some even described it his back as raw hamburger. It was just that gruesome. And so there he was, taking upon that punishment for us. And And here he was in a place that the other design of this, and the Romans were very good at torture. It was something they actually studied. And they would do this also in a public square to bring great embarrassment, to belittle someone, to humiliate them, always carried out in public. And think about that. The cross hadn't even happened yet. And he went and took 39 lashes for you and for me. And we're going to really see the power of this today. And the reason why, and every lash and what they represents is it represents healing for your life, that he paid for the curse of sickness here on earth. By his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. So if you're following along in your notes, you can just drop this down. Because he was whipped, here's the result for you and me, that we are healed. We are healed. Think about it this way, too. The back represents a place of strength. If you've ever had back trouble, or maybe you know somebody that does, it's horrific. It's hard to even do life if you have those conditions. How many know what I'm talking about? And so there he was in that place. Every lash was against disease. Every lash has power to bring healing to your body. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Would you read the last part of this verse with me? By his wounds, you have been healed. Over the really the last few weeks in the Mills household, it's been rough. The last 2 weeks, all three kids have had the flu. And man, when the kids have flu, it's some tough days in the house. And so our oldest Ashton had it, then Judah, our middle, and then Braxton got it. And so I remember one of the early mornings the other week, I think it was around 3 a.m. or so, I was up with Braxton, and Judah had just been up for a while, just obviously, you know, fever, all those things. And but the thing I struggle with is vomit, man. Like, Lord have mercy. My, you know, Braxton, like, it just all came up, and it about all came up with me too. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, the smell of it, anything, just like, I hate to be graphic with you today, but that's just relaying what my struggle is. And so I run in there and get Bethany and say, babe, you're going to have to help me, you know, because I'm going to be dry heaving in a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's not going to be pretty. And so bless her heart, because when the kids vomit, it's extra for her. And so pray for her, you know, during those times. And so, but throughout the time that they were struggling and they were sick, though, one of the things that we were teaching them in the midst of that moment is the importance of having them see God as their healer. That yes, we had to take them all to urgent care, and we're going to use wisdom, and obviously, but also realizing and helping them to understand that we serve a God who heals. And so that's why I think in moments like that, as parents, we need to continue to make sure, you know, there's little teaching lessons that can obviously happen, and we want them to see God as their healer as well, and to experience that part of him. And then the Bible says this in Psalm 103. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And so here's what I know. I know that many people can be very skeptical when it comes to healing and this part of our God. And I think part of that is because we live in a very cynical culture, where we see a culture that makes fun of Christ, that they try to depict him as puny and weak. And can I just remind us today that our God is full of strength. He's a stud. He's got it going on, and he's full of power. Can you say amen today? All right. And so, but we see that happening. And where did it come from? And I think where some of this comes from, and many not believing sometimes that healing can happen, I think sometimes it happens through bad experiences. I think it can happen through bad teaching as well. And we see unfortunate things, even Christian television, that if you do this, this, and this, then you'll get healed. I love what Josh Monty, he spoke about a few weeks ago. I'm not going to try to recreate that, but if you were here, he touched on that. And I think the reason why I bring it up today is because I just saw something the other day, and it just ticked me off, you know, and I'm thinking, so the bottom line is this, is you don't have to go through a bunch of hoops for God to heal you. If you've got a relationship with God today, guess what? God can heal you, touch you. If he has your heart, he has your life. All right? And I want to encourage us to this, to know the healer that he is. And so so here we are in a place that we see a lot of this happening. And again, I think for some people, too, the reason why there's maybe people just kind of cast off is because they've been disappointed. Maybe have prayed for something and it never happened, or it hasn't happened yet. And so now what tends to happen is it dictates your view on God. and it can kind of only almost bring you to a place of withdrawal. And so we get to a place that really just says, well, I'm only convinced if I see it first. If I don't see it, then I'm not convinced because I'm afraid that he'll just disappoint again and again. And so I just want to talk to the person just for a second. If you're here today and you would say, man, I'm not sure if I buy into this healing thing right now, I want to just propose a question to you, and that is this, that what if it's real? Like, what if it's real? What if this healing thing, and I believe it is, that God has for us is real? Because Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price for us. And for me, I've seen this firsthand. I've seen the power of God move firsthand for me. I've had a personal experience with God and seeing him move in the miraculous. 10 years ago, I was on my deathbed fighting for my life. Death seemed only but imminent for me. But I'm so thankful for my family, so thankful for church family, because, man, when you're going through some stuff, man, you better have some people alongside of you that know how to get a hold of God and know how to pray. And I'm telling you, I was going through literal hell in my body, everything shutting down, and what I needed was not just a good, now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. Come on, somebody. What I needed is somebody to stand with me and cry out to God and believe for the miraculous to happen. It's called spiritual warfare, that we confront the devil and tell him to shut up and put him in his place. And so I'm so thankful for that. And so there I was in a coma for weeks when on Christmas Day of 2008, I came off of life support by the power of God. That's the only explanation, is that I came off that ventilator, came off that, and God touched and healed my body. I'll never forget, as a 13-year-old, I was with 3 friends from school, and who's a little bit older than me. And my one friend, that she was driving. How many remember those old, come on, Dodge Neons? Come on, like way back in the 90s. Let's go. And they were like the thing back then. And so she was driving that. And there we were heading on a country road just outside of Kokomo, headed down south to Tipton for a festival, when my friend, don't know what she was doing, overcompensated, went on one side and one back on the other side of the road. And then we went off a bridge and our car flipped multiple times, ejecting me from the car. And I'll never forget, when I got in the hospital, the doctor came in and pointed at me and said, you're lucky to be alive. Lucky to be alive. And he said, you know, had you been wearing your seatbelt in that moment, you actually would have died, because the end of my car, the end of the car where I was at, was crushed. But I was ejected. I had glass on my back, so I got scars on my back from where they had to take out glass. And I'd have had a foot that was broken. Now, I'm 14 whatever years old, and I just remember having a faith in God even as a kid, and just believing and knowing that either God says who he says is either who he is or he's not. And so I chose to take him at his word, and even as a young boy, and I'll never forget, you know, they told me I'd be in this cast for up to 6 weeks or so, and I just wasn't having it. And I just remember my faith, and I was sitting at church on a Sunday night. Come on, how many remember some Sunday night services, man? Sunday night service, and I remember sitting, it was in the second row. It was like on this side of our auditorium. And as I was sitting there, man, I heard God just say this, take off your boot, I've healed you. And I'm like, whoa. Like, for real, you know, it's like kind of freaked me out, just heard. And so I took off my boot, and I just excused myself out of the row, and I began to walk back. And all of a sudden, man, I'm walking fine with no pain, nothing. Went back to the doctor, and all was fine. X-ray, everything. Everything showed clear. So I didn't have to wear that bad boy for 6 weeks when God healed me in the first week. Come on, somebody. And can I just say, I'm going to always be braggadocious about who my God is. Oh, yeah, I'm always going to brag on him and his power, because it's real. And I'll never forget 10 years ago when God raised me up off that deathbed, and I had a doctor that came in, and Bethany was in there and some of my family, and said, this was one of the most wicked things I've ever seen. They said, you should be dead. They said, and then he said, but somebody up there must love you. I said, oh, yeah, he does. We tight, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you, man, we believe in healing in this church, and we believe in the power of God. And so I believe this, that faith is your attitude. Faith is who you are. It's not necessarily what you do. It just becomes. And because it's who you are, you begin to take faith steps. And I think it's a starting point for somebody today that may be struggling with this, is to know that he can, to press past maybe all the bad experiences and believe yes first. believe that he can. So here's the question I get a ton, though, from people's pastor. Why doesn't everybody get healed? It's probably one of the greatest questions I always get, and I'll give you a very deep theological answer this morning and tell you I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. But I think an attitude that's predominant in America and even amongst Christians is this attitude of having to prove it all the time. In order for me to believe it, then I need to see it. And I want to just encourage you today to believe again. For some of us, it's just believing again. And I want to help shift you from a place of know that he can't to a yes first in your life. Because I believe this, if Jesus can save our souls, he can heal our bodies. That's pretty weak, church. I'm going to try it again. I believe if Jesus can save our souls, I believe he can heal our bodies. Come on, somebody. Check out this story in Mark chapter 2. It says this. Such a cool story. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them, since they could not get him to Jesus. Look at this. Look at this. Crazy, radical Christians here. Because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. I mean, forget going through the doors. Like, the roof sounds like a great idea. Let's just climb up. The man's, you know, paralyzed anyways. You know, what do we have to lose? You know, I don't know what the thinking was there, but there it was. And so they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat, the paralyzed man was lying on. You got to get this picture real quick. Just imagine just being so full out, I mean, just through everywhere that, you know, has some friends. Come on, how many thank God? And if you don't have some, you need some. You need some friends, the kind of friends that'll lower you through a roof to get your healing. I'm talking about those are friends for life, baby, that know how to pray for you, stand with you, and get you in right in front of God. And so there they are, those friends looked after. I mean, that's a friendship. That's a boy right there. And they peel back. I mean, just imagine here. They peel back. They get through the roof of the building. And then all of a sudden, just, I mean, think about being in the room. How cool. All of a sudden, they just see this man lowered on a mat. Right, I mean, it'd be pretty wild, wouldn't it? And then right in front of Jesus, and Jesus, it goes on to say this, says, when Jesus saw their faith, because when you get excited about God, he gets excited. And so he sees their faith. And he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I want to point out something that I think is very important to the heart of God. Notice that Jesus didn't heal him first. Did you notice that? Notice his response first was, I forgive you of your sins. Because once again, God knows if he's got our heart, he's got our life. So he captures the man's heart, says, you're forgiven. Man, you sin no more. And then, oh yeah, that condition you have, easy. I'm going to bring healing to that. He said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home and walk. And I'm just telling you, we serve a God who is still in the healing business today, man, who is touching and changing lives. So we've got to make the shift. Number one, if you're following along in your notes, jot this down. You've got to have faith in God. There's no secret. There's no gimmick. Healing is supernatural, something that you and I and our brain may not comprehend. He adds his super to our natural. Matthew 13:58, there is a reference here that Jesus was back in his hometown. He was back in his hometown and wanting to do miracles, could only do some, the Bible says. And the word that came up in some translations is because of the familiarity amongst the people in his hometown. In other words, they weren't honoring to him. So he could do some, but then he had to just keep going there from Nazareth. And let me just say something about familiarity and what it can do. Familiarity is the soil where dishonor grows. And so when they're in a place of that familiarity, what it was a place of dishonor. Can I just say this? That we never want to be in a place with God where we are ever dishonoring to him, number one, but ever in a place that we are ever taking him and his power and his love for granted. Amen, church. And so that we always serve God with a reverence, with a fear of God to knowing, man, that he is full of compassion and love. And he is a God worth serving, not just sometime, but all the time in our life. And then Mark 11 says this, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that he says what he says will happen, it will be done for him. And therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So the starting point for the analytical ones, because I'm kind of that way, is it can't be logical. You've got to believe the impossible can be possible. All right, Hebrews 11:1 gives us a reference for what faith is, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So a starting point has to be believing, having faith that God can do anything. Now, listen to this. Logical people don't see miracles because God is not a logical God. All right, amen. I even have the children with me on that one. One of them kids just said, yeah, that's right. That's right. Come on, Pastor Kyle. If God was logical, he wouldn't be worth serving. Think about it. If God was logical, he wouldn't be worth serving, because if you could figure him out, then he is too small. So you need a God bigger than you, bigger than your brain, because I don't know about you, but man, I face some stuff in my life that I need God's power for, and I'm not that smart to get me through something. I need the grace, the strength, and the power of God to see me through it. I needed the power of God to get me off of a deathbed, not the Greek word for it. All right? And so it's the power of God that we need. And so I like serving a God that's bigger than my brain, that does things I don't understand. And so the first step of faith is believing that God is bigger than you, and that he can do the impossible, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And we have to make up our minds that either this is just a fairy tale or this is really true. And so how do you build your faith? Well, there's a few ways you can do that. By the power of prayer. Prayer is oxygen. It's gasoline to a car. Like, is that important? How many know if you don't have gas in the car, you ain't going nowhere today. You staying here at Elevate City. You know? Yes, it is. And so what we have to understand is sometimes, it's like for some of us, we've been driving around on empty, and God's trying to fill us up. And he's wanting to fill you up with faith again, fill you up with his power again, and let God in, even through the disappointments that you feel like you've had. Listen to me. Maybe the setbacks, could it be the setbacks that you have had in your life are not stumbling stones, but they're a setup for God to do something incredible through your life? Could it be that they are stepping stones to what he's trying to do next? And so I want to give you this. There's prayer, and then obviously the word, being in the word, you've got to get integrated in the word. It's got to get in you. It's got to get in you. You version Bible app, or break open that leather bound big boy. It's good to do. Worship. You know, I was sitting here Thursday night at our rehearsal, and man, just taking it in, and our team worked so diligently and hard. But one of the things that just hit my spirit is just, man, the importance of his presence. Because you can't take people where you've never been. So one of the things I love about this team, always have loved about them, is the passion to go forward. Because here's the deal. If you're going to lead people, part of their anointing is to lead us into the presence of God. But you can't lead somebody where you've not been privately. I can't lead you if I've not been there privately. It's why desperate through the week, crying out for a move of God every Sunday. Why? Because we want to see Fort Wayne change for the glory of God, not just on Sunday, but through our small groups through the week as well. Eternities are changed on Sunday. Lives are changed during the week in small groups. It's quiet in this Presbyterian place today, my God. I love the Presbyterians. All right, let's put up the acronym here of faith. I just wanted you to get a picture of this today. Glory. There it is. Faith. And here it is. And I love doing acronyms from time to time. So if you want to take a picture of it, write it down, whatever you want to do. But, you know, this is part of the attitude of faith, is staying positive, focusing. Sometimes you've got to affirm yourself, even when things aren't working out. I know the times for me I've been through, man, the press, you wish somebody was praying for you, but sometimes you got to lay your own hands on your own head, you know. And so that's part of affirming yourself. continue to use imagining God doing something good, man, trusting. Guess what trust means? It means you're not in control. He is. So if you're really trusting God, it means you're not in control. You're going to walk it out in faith and then hoping for the best. And then the Bible says in Psalm 149:6, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. Boy, I wish I had time just to preach that one verse there. Number two is pray with faith. Pray with faith. You got to have faith in God, then you got to pray with faith. You're going to face some things in your life that you're going to need the strength of faith to overcome some stuff. Because the devil's doing everything he can to try to destroy you and take you out. And in our times of prayer, you got to tell the devil to shut up and remind him God is in charge. Luke 18, it says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. Look at this. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, he said, I don't fear God or I don't care about people. But, come on, whenever there's a but in the scripture, you better pay attention. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because girl is wearing me out with her constant requests. I love this woman's passion because she is relentless and she's going to see this thing moved in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter. Listen, God can do anything, whether somebody knows God or not. Guess what? Man, if you're believing for a promotion, wherever you may be at, God can turn anything in a moment. You've just got to give it to him in prayer and keep a lifestyle of faith about you and trust to know that he is. He is who he says he is. I think about the story of the blind guy in Luke 18. Jesus was passing by down the road, and here he is laying on the side. He's been blind since birth, crying out. The Bible says it this way. Those who led the way rebuked him and told this man to be quiet. And I love this guy's attitude. I'm going to shout all the more. Why? Because he's got something that Jesus has something that this man needs, and that's his healing. And I like this guy because, again, he's determined that nobody's going to stop me from my miracle. And God ends up being drawn to this man and heals him of his blindness. Sometimes, again, you've got to take a step. It's not always going to make sense for you, but that's the way faith is. Faith is, it's not logical, it's supernatural. It's combining your spirit with his. Again, it's him adding his super to your natural. And it's so important. That's why for some of us, man, I think about the story of Jesus walking on the water. Man, how cool would that have been on the boat that day? And then you get one dude, Peter, who gets real bold in his faith. And he's like, man, if he can do it, I'm going to give me some. I'm gonna jump out of this boat and I'm going to walk on some water. And so he gets out of the boat. And then he sees Jesus, but all of a sudden he's looking around at the waves, thinking, man, it's kind of crazy, a little crazy. And he starts falling into the water. And poor Peter gets a bad rap, doesn't he? You know, everybody's, man, ye of little faith. Well, you know, I think about all the guys that didn't have the faith to at least try. Get out of the boat! What are you waiting on? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. I'm telling you, for some of us, it's just like I'm just waiting on God. Could it be God is really waiting on you to just take a step of faith into what he's called and placed within your life to do? And when you do, even if you fall, he will pick you up. I would rather fail trying than not try at all. Man, I'm preaching better than your amen. And all right, here's the last one. My time's gone. Trust God. There's the final one. No matter what, trust him. I know it may not make sense and you're not quite sure. Don't try to figure it out. Just let him have control and let him do the figuring out. People ask me all the time, why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't everybody get healed? And again, I don't know. But I have seen him heal. And I have seen him move. And whatever I'm believing for is not going to stop me from continuing to lean into my relationship with God. If he was faithful then, I know he can be faithful to do it again. I don't care if I've got to latch onto somebody else's faith. If I know somebody, God moved in somebody's life and I've seen him move, man, if he can do it for them, he can do it for me. Isaiah 54:17. This is a verse for somebody today. I was in prayer on Thursday, and this verse, I've read it 1,000 times, just hit me different. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage. Everybody say the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Listen to me. God never said the weapons would not form. He said they would not prosper. For some of you, just like, man, why am I in this? Again, could it be that the setbacks that you think are stumbling blocks are actually stepping stones for what God is wanting to do in you and through you? Quit looking at your situation as just an opportunity to curse crisis. Sometimes the very things we're trying to curse, God is trying to bless. Man. And I'm encouraging you, and I love the end part of that verse. Go back to that. This is the heritage. What's that mean? It's your inheritance. For some in your biological family, maybe you don't have a lot of lines in your family. It's not much inheritance. But can I remind you this morning that you are of the heritage of the Most High God? And that, guess what? His royal blood is flowing through you today. You have a heritage from Almighty God that's going to see you through. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Have faith. And I'm telling you, God's going to see you through. A miracle is in motion. A miracle's in motion. How do you do it? Hebrews 12:2. We do this. It's going to end it. We're going to pray by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Him. He's the champion. One who initiates, perfects our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'll never forget at a youth conference some years ago. Service had ended and a family brought up a boy who had scoliosis. And I'll never forget this. And if you don't know what scoliosis is, it's a curvature of the spine. And they just said, Pastor, he's so desperate for a miracle. We don't know what else to do and the doctors aren't sure, so we want to pray. Listen, I prayed for people, nothing happened. But every time I do pray with somebody, I believe that God will do it right then. That's just the way my faith is. So they brought the boy to me, and I asked him, I said, son, do you believe that God could heal you? And just tears down his face, he said, I'm desperate for it, yeah. I told his family and had some other people in leadership around me. It wasn't my church, obviously. And so we laid hands and we prayed. We just prayed and prayed. And I put my hands on his back where his spine was. And we just began to pray and believe for the healing power of God to flow through that young boy. And something began to happen. I remember praying for him, and there was just a warmth that came through me. It's the only way I can describe it, is a warmth and a tingling feeling that came through me. And all of a sudden, at the end of the prayer, I just said, hey, do something you couldn't do before. First thing he did was went to touch his toes, and he did it. I said, how was that? He looked at me, he said, wow, he said, that was okay. I said, okay, let's do something else, you know. And so we just kept doing some things, and we could see, man, God was healing him right there. And I'll never forget it, man, we began to rejoice. But I said to them, I said, as you leave this place today, continue to speak, continue to declare that he is whole and he is healed. Then follow him up with his doctor to see and make sure that he's healed. And I told the pastor, I said, let me know, because I'm praying. And I'll never forget, a couple weeks later, they gave me the report. He had went back, they did a full x-ray of his spine, and his curvature was now straight again, and the boy was healthy and strong and moving forward. Why am I saying that? Because we're in this culture in America that's trying to downgrade God and his power, when I'm telling you, he is still powerful, he is still alive, and he is still moving today in the hearts of people. If you believe it, come on, put your hands together today. Let's pray. Bow your head. Father, we thank you right now. There's people in here that need your healing touch. And I want to encourage you, if you need healing in your body, there's a bunch of us leaders, pastors, leaders going to be up in the front at the end of service. We want to pray with you. I don't care what it is that you need. It may be physical, it may be mental, it doesn't matter, spiritual. If you need healing, I'm telling you, he's a God that can heal. You've got to believe it. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are. It is the will of God for you to be healed. And so we're going to pray in just a moment. After service is concluded, all of us are going to be in the front. If you want prayer, man, we just want to pray with you. That's all we want to do. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now. You can know him. If you don't have a relationship with him, this is your time. He loves you so much. Can't think of a better time in this Easter season than right now by giving him your life. If that's you, in the count of three, I want you just to lift your hand up and say, man, pastor, that's me. And then you can put it right back down. Come on, all over this place. One, two, three, real high. Say, man, that's me. I need him. I need him. I need him. Come on. One. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Awesome. All right, I want to pray with you. Gotcha. Awesome. Come on, I want to pray with you right now. Just if you raise your hand, pray this prayer. Come on, church. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I want to say very quickly. I got preaching and I got to move quick on time, but I want to say this. If you gave your life, make sure to the Lord and you prayed that prayer. Listen, we believe you just got born again. So make sure you take the next step on your connection card right at the bottom. It says, I've committed my life to Christ or recommitted. Please let me know so I can just send you some resources this week to help you walk this out. Don't try to do this by yourself. Amen? Amen, everybody. Come on, can we give God a hand for what he's done? Amen? Amen? Man, I'm telling you, God is here. We're going to worship God with our giving. Give me just one more minute and we're going to worship him with our giving in just a moment here. If you're here for the first time, you can just relax during this. Just glad you're here. Thank you for being with us today. And again, if you didn't get that first-time guest packet at the hub there on your way out, we've got that for you. Encourage you to stop by there. And our growth track step one is coming up during our noon service. Just want to say very quickly, man, if you've been here for a few weeks, even a few months, and you don't know what it looks like just to be a member, to be a part of the church, this is your opportunity. I believe within that 1 hour of you being in that today, that you'll know if this is home for you or not. For some, you've just maybe kind of kicking the tires around here and wondering, maybe it's home. I encourage you to go and be a part of that today. Your kids can stay with us in our kids' ministry. And man, I'm just telling you, God's moving. And so jump in and be a part. Let's stand to our feet. And we're going to pray. Encourage you. If you're not in a small group, we're in our April here. We got a few weeks left, but man, you can jump in at any time. Don't do this thing by yourself. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. In Jesus' name, we thank you for those that are being healed even now, God. That you're moving, you're working. Let faith come alive. God, bless each and every person. God, I thank you for the generosity of this church. God, that together we are making such an incredible difference. God, it's not talk, it's happening. And we've been seeing it, God, more and more. And we love you and we honor you and worship you today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen.